The Soccer Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100 times in NBA, MLB, MMA, NHL, golf, and more. Sign up today at underdogfantasy.com using the promo code SGPN to get a 100% deposit match. That's the promo code SGPN for a 100% deposit match.
Here is Diego Dallo in towards Scotland Tominay. The man who opened the scoring for Manchester United in the quarterfinal opens the scoring for them again, this time in the semi-final at Wembley. All set up by brilliant ball, brilliant overlapping run from the fullback. He just lets it hit his leg and goes in. He didn't have to put anything on it. And that five has kept most of the red shirts out, but not that time. 1 minute of added time at the end of the first 45. Here's McGuire! On the stroke of half time, Manchester United take a 2-goal lead. Unmarked, unwatched. Harry Maguire steals in to score a headed goal.
Oh, it's a disaster. Unmarked. I think it's Sims who's got him and he just gets left behind. Maguire, using his experience, just pushing him away and then taking the space in front of him. Too easy.
Fernandes out to Rashford. Garnacho's at the far post. Rashford is possessed by Latavodier. Fernandes has won it back again. And he has scored again. And that goal from the captain should ensure that on cup final day, Wembley Way becomes Mancunian Way.
And the ball comes to Fernandes. Just look at the difference in the quality. Little shuffle with his feet, right to left, gets in the shooting position and hits the target. Gets a bit lucky with the deflection, but it's about creating the shooting opportunity.
It was at this point everything was right in the world. Everything was right with me, everything was right with Man United supporters, and everything was right with our listeners. We were cashing our podcast lock. We were cashing it easily. In fact, those of you who have Bet365 would have already cashed the Manchester United moneyline leg with the over 1.5 also coming in at 2-0. We had cashed our play by half time for those who were on Bet365. Bruno Fernandes then added the third goal and seemingly everybody had cashed the podcast lock. We'd made money. The pressure was temporarily off Erik ten Hag because Erik ten Hag had won this game and had won it convincingly, as Manchester United should, against inferior opposition from the Championship, setting up the Manchester Derby FA Cup final for the second year in a row and setting up Erik ten Hag's fifth trip to Wembley in two seasons after winning two FA Cup semi-finals, winning the Carabao Cup and setting up a rematch against Manchester City once again in May. Everything was good. I actually took my 64-year-old mum to this game because my son generously decided to part with his ticket because it's my mum's birthday. It was my mum's birthday the day after, on the 22nd of April, and the game took place on the 21st. And my son decided that he would give up his ticket, A, because it was a generous thing to do, and B, because he believed this would be a comfortable afternoon for Man United, despite the fact that we have been giving up goals and relinquishing leads and giving up late goals in recent weeks. Surely nothing was going to happen here against Coventry. And for 70 minutes, he was absolutely right. And for 70 minutes, everybody was happy. My mum was having a pleasant birthday. She had a nice meal. We were even looking to leave early. We were going to beat the traffic. Everything was good. United were doing good. They were playing well. Some of the pressure would have been off Eric Ten Hag, because getting to Wembley five times is a monumental achievement. We would have had an FA Cup final to look ahead to. People who listen to this podcast would have made money. I would have been home before the game even ended if we'd left at the 70th minute mark. But something as a tortured and suffering Manchester United supporter told me, just wait another 10 minutes. Just give it another 10 minutes because of what has happened recently. Just give it another 10 minutes because deep down at my core, I do not trust this team. I still do not trust this team. Even at 3-0 up against Championship opposition, something in my gut based on what I've seen told me that there was a possibility that something could happen and to not entirely trust this team.
Tavares. Far post, it's only Sims! Coventry back in it. His 19th of the season, he's 7th in this competition. Gives those Coventry City fans a bit of hope with 20 to go.
And that's what he's all about. Onana can't get anywhere near it. He's off his shin. It's a shinner. But who cares? He doesn't.
Back has sent Josh Sims away. Needs a bit of support here. Bidwell getting up on the outside. Sims into Callum O'Hare, who strikes it, a deflection, and it's in! Well, now the underdogs are more than playing their part. The Manchester United fans have seen this movie before. And so have the Coventry City supporters. They are back in the game with just 12 minutes to go in the FA Cup semi-final. 3-0 down, it's 3-2 now.
He just gets it out of his feet and it hits the back of Wan-Bissaka. 3-2, you never know.
O'Hare. Tavares, it was headed away by Christian Eriksen, picked up by Torp, and he's done so well to get it out to Hadji Wright. It's a great cross and it comes off the defender and goes behind. There's accusation of handball. It's a penalty to Coventry in stoppage time. It's another thrill-a-minute ride in the FA Cup.
Well, this is a replay. His arm's out, it's behind him.
They are checking it on VAR, and this is a massive call for video assistant referee Peter Banks.
The penalty's given.
Penalty is given. Hadji Wright against Onana for extra time in the semi. 95th minute. We're in stoppage time at the end of the game. 3-2 to Manchester United. It's Hadji Wright. It's 3-3 now. Mark Robbins, the Coventry manager, says this could be an experience of a lifetime. Well, for Coventry City fans, it most certainly could be. 3-0 down, 3-3 in stoppage time, an extra time looming against Manchester United, and it's all to play for.
The coolest man in the stadium, right. Absolutely amazing FA Cup drama again.
1 minute of additional time. Godden had that chance in extra time. Into O'Hare. It might be they who win it. It's on to Wright. He's got Sims at the far post. Coventry on the attack. It's in!
It's one of the most remarkable comebacks in FA Cup history. Coventry City of the Championship are just about to knock out the mighty Manchester United in stoppage time at the end of extra time.
Well, is there a possible offside in the build-up to the goal? Well, Manchester United, a few of the fans left when that goal went in. They might wish they'd come back in now because that goal has been torpedoed.
Can we believe this game?
To take charge of the shootout from the off. It's Casemiro against Collins. And it's an easy save. Well, he tried to do what I think Bernardo Silva tried to do in midweek, and Collins has caught it out.
Callum O'Hare, who has played today in place of the suspended Casey Palmer, has scored penalties for his club this season. Hoyland against Collins. Manchester United just about find a way to win. You wait 151 years for a Manchester Derby FA Cup final, and then two come along at once. It's absolute heartbreak for Ben Sheep, who missed a killer penalty. Callum O'Hare, who saw his save from Andre Onana. For these Coventry players come away with nothing but credit on an afternoon where they clawed their way back from 3-0 down to take Manchester United of the Premier League to a penalty shootout.
So you're obviously listening to BetMUFC here on the Soccer Gambling Podcast, on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Not going to run through all the social medias and whatnot. You know where they are. We say it on every single show. I just want to get down to it. And I don't even want to really talk too much about the game against Sheffield United tonight. In fact, I've decided just to get that out of the way. Manchester United host Sheffield United tonight at Old Trafford. Man United are the strong favourites to win the game at 4-9. I expect them to win this game because they are hosting the worst team in the Premier League. And I do believe Manchester United now owe their supporters a performance. And the two things kind of go hand in hand. The way I'm going to cap this game and talking about us owing our supporters a performance. We have just got through to an FA Cup final. Erik ten Hag does speak about that in the press conference, which we're going to play shortly. And he is right in some of the things that he says. It is an achievement. We would have taken it before the game, no matter what. The priority is to be in the FA Cup final. But to get there via VAR and to get there from 3-0 up and needing extra time to be pegged back by Coventry City is still an embarrassment. It is an embarrassing win. And the two words embarrassing and win don't often go together, but we're going to speak more about the game and we're going to look at both sides of it. Yes, we were 3-0 up and coasting. We did do the job. And then, yes, we did have 20 bad minutes. So what really outweighs the other? Is it the achievement or is it the embarrassment? So we will weigh that up. But here, Manchester United faced the worst team in the Premier League. And the overriding opinion and the way that the media have covered it, which Ten Hag speaks about later on, is that it was, in fact, an embarrassing result. It was an embarrassing win. And as I said, these are two words that we don't often put together, but this is one of those rare instances that we are doing it. It's kind of like a team in football being 24-point favourites against the spread and needing to win the game with an overtime field goal. That's kind of how it is. So you take it because a win's a win. But at the end of the day, it's not a win that anybody is going to remember fondly. In fact, lucky is the word that has mostly been attached to it. And off the back of that, I do believe now this game against Sheffield United becomes a lot more important than it was. You're going to have Manchester United supporters there, nearly 70,000 filling up the stadium. And I do believe we'll get a response. And this is the perfect team to respond against. Sheffield United are down. They even lost at home to Burnley. This team are playing for absolutely nothing. They are the absolute worst team in the Premier League. And this does give Manchester United a rare opportunity to not only win, but to win convincingly. Something that they should have done here against Coventry City. Now, there is data for Sheffield United to obviously contribute towards the scoring. Therefore, if you want to take Manchester United to cover any kind of handicap line here, say a minus 1.5 Asian handicap, you probably do need Manchester United to score three goals, as Man United have conceded 16 goals in their last six games and face a Sheffield United team who have scored nine in their last six. Although the Blades are winless in nine matches and have lost six of those, while Man United have scored exactly three goals in two of their last four contests and are coming up against, I believe, the worst opponent that they've faced since we beat Newport in the FA Cup, and we did even struggle to do that. So I believe this is an opponent who are worse than Coventry. This should be an easier game for United, but it's difficult to take us to win convincingly given that we concede so many goals, have conceded 15 times in the last six games. So I'm going to take United to win, and I'm going to tack on the over 2.5 goals. So I'm going to be bold, and I'm going to tack on over 2.5 goals. United should score these three goals by themselves. But if Sheffield United do make a contribution towards the scoring, then it only helps us cash this selection. Man United and over 2.5 goals is available at 10 to 11. The money line price is shortening in places here for this game. United are now more widely available at around about 4 to 11 or even 1 to 3 minus 300. So we are shortening and becoming less appealing as a parlay piece. So you are potentially looking at handicaps, and you're looking at this play on Man United and over 2.5 goals at 10 to 11. Man United to just score three goals by themselves. So Man United to eclipse their team total of over 2.5 goals is available at plus money. That jumps it up to 11 to 10. This is also a play that appeals to me. Everything appeals to me more than needing Man United to win this by a two-goal margin, because we may need to score four goals even against Sheffield United in order to cover this minus 1.5 Asian handicap line, which is available at the same price as Man United and over 2.5 goals. It's also available at 10 to 11. My lean here is going to be for United and over 2.5 goals scored in this game, as we have some kind of response to what was an embarrassment on Sunday. And we're going to talk about why that was an embarrassment. We're going to listen to Ten Hag's side. We're going to listen to Roy Keane's comments after the game. Before we do all of that, let me take this quick pause to tell you guys that the NFL draft is this week, and the Sports Gambling Podcast has you covered all week with NFL draft props, mock drafts, and their NFL watch party. Tune in Thursday night on the Sports Gambling Podcast YouTube page and hang with the guys for the best NFL draft watch party out there. Plus, make sure to download the SGPN app for your free shot at winning a $100 SGPN gift card with NFL Draft Bingo. Let me also take this pause to tell you guys about Underdog Fantasy. The NBA playoffs are here, and our sponsor Underdog Fantasy wants to make things a lot more interesting. Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Underdog is available in 30 plus states, including California, Texas, and Canada. And they've just launched Champions, their player versus player format, in Florida. So make sure to get involved and sign up with our promo code SGPN, and Underdog will double your first deposit up to $100. That's Underdog Fantasy and the promo code SGPN. So before we move on and listen to Erik ten Hag, we're going to first listen to Roy Keane, as he gave his comments immediately after the victory, which obviously doesn't feel like a victory, over Coventry City, as Manchester United secured their path to the FA Cup final once again.
Raised the same old questions about Manchester United, hasn't it? That we're going around the hamster wheel asking the same questions and getting the same answers about them.
We're having the same conversation every week. What, Man United, you don't know where you're going to get. They're inconsistent. They give you chances. They always play in moments. That's what they tend to do. They give teams chances. We've seen it even throughout the FA Cup this year. Like Wigan had chances, Newport, Leicester teams. Liverpool probably should have beat them. They should have been beaten today. But they're in the final. We always say you need a bit of luck in football, and United had luck today, absolutely. They got over the line. Maguire got interviewed towards the end. He said, we showed great character. I don't see character in this group of players. I really don't. I'm getting to the stage where I'm always disliking them, because I see what qualities they have. But when they have a team and they've got the game won, and they're just taking the foot off the gas, and I'm waiting for leadership. I'm seeing people with bad habits. I'm looking at the goalkeeper, wasting time. Your goalkeeper, Man United, playing you're 2 or 3 nil up. and you're wasting time. Just get on with the game, you know, flex your muscles. You've got the game won, and all of a sudden you take a step back almost. Show some courage, almost frightened to go and win the game. So, again, huge problems for Man United going forward, but they got the job done. But, you know, the plaudits today, I have to go to Coventry.
Start this lunchtime with Erik ten Hag, who's come out fighting this afternoon, calling the reaction of pundits and the media to their victory over Coventry in the FA Cup semi-final at the weekend an embarrassment and a disgrace. Alan Irwin was at the Manchester United manager's news conference for us, and we can speak to him now. Alan, was ten Hag expecting such scrutiny after leading his team to another FA Cup final?
Wow, it was a very interesting news conference indeed. What an interesting weekend indeed. You would expect that Manchester United making it through to the final, from a semi-final to the final of the FA Cup, would be a cause for celebration. But it didn't appear to be the case for Erik ten Hag and his players over the weekend. Leading that game for 70 minutes, blowing a three-goal advantage, and in many people's eyes, just a toenail away from heading out to Championship side Coventry. But they did scrape through via a penalty shootout. And it seems, as I say, it should be a cause for celebration. They do have a chance of silverware. The criticism was immense. So the question for Erik ten Hag was, did he feel that criticism from the media was justified?
No, absolutely not. And you made it off, and one was made the question, is it embarrassing? Now, the reactions from you was embarrassed.
Why do you say that?
Well, it is, the comments, in football. Top football is about results. And we made it to the final, and we deserved it, not only by this game, but also the other games. And, well, we lost. And then in 20-minute control, also had a bad look, 3-2, 3-3. We were very lucky in the end, clear. The penalties was very good. And we made it to the final. And that is huge achievement. Twice in 2 years is magnificent. For me as a manager, 4 cup finals in 4 years. And so the comments are a disgrace.
Well, despite what Erik ten Hag said today, I think it's fair to say that a number of those Manchester United players did look rather sheepishly and embarrassed when they did finally make it through that penalty shootout. It wasn't the usual penalty shootout celebrations. Hoyland did put the ball in the net to seal their passage to the Cup final. He did celebrate in front of the Manchester United fans briefly, but we didn't see the usual host of players running towards that final penalty taker to celebrate with him. In fact, most of the Manchester United players were still in the centre circle area shaking hands with the disappointed Coventry players. And it was very noticeable that Anthony wasn't one of those players. He turned and was deemed to have been disrespectful to those Coventry players in his celebrations, cupping his ears to the players and the fans. But here's what Erik ten Hag said in defence of Anthony.
But did you see the reaction of Harry Maguire?
Yes, okay. Very respectful.
Yeah, and he was provocated, and he should not react
Anthony
like this.
Was.
Yeah, he was provocated. And that's why this was a reaction on that. So you haven't seen that provocation. You only see the reaction. But he should not do it. But also, I have seen Harry Maguire straight after, and as others, because we should acknowledge the performance from Coventry.
Yeah, there's always going to be a media reaction to Man United. Man United's always the story, whether it be the controversial behaviour of our players, whether it be relinquishing a 3-goal lead against Coventry, whether it be signings that don't turn out to be good signings, whether it be our league position, no matter our ownership, no matter what it is, Manchester United is always going to be the story. And Ten Hag knows that. He would have known the way this would have been covered, but it doesn't mean that he's wrong. It is actually a disgrace in terms of some of the terminology that's been used. This narrative that Manchester United don't deserve to be there and Coventry deserve to be there. Why? Because they're the underdog. We knew that they were the underdog. That doesn't give them any kind of entitlement, because why don't we just make a fucking rule then that if the game is a draw at the end of 90 minutes, that we just put the underdog through because the betting odds reflected that they were an underdog. It's also worth noting that at multiple times during this FA Cup run, Manchester United have actually been underdogs. We started as underdogs against Liverpool. We were underdogs going in at half time. We were underdogs at the start of extra time. We were 7-1 just to get a draw out of the game and force extra time when Anthony scored that goal. We were 14-1 to qualify at that point when Man United were 2-1 down. During this game, we were 3-1 underdogs after Casemiro missed the first penalty. We were then 9-2 underdogs after Coventry City scored their first penalty to go 1-0 ahead. So what does that tell you? Manchester United have shown some resilience and perseverance and character in order to get through. But the media coverage is going to be what it is. Nothing's really being said about the fact that when the first 70 minutes were played out, Manchester United made Coventry City look like a championship team for that 70-minute period. But ultimately, the media will cover it how they're going to cover it. Ten Hag has to get used to that. He's right in what he says, and the media are going to do what the media do. But what does that mean for the future of Erik ten Hag? Well, Erik ten Hag did a less hostile interview with Manchester United themselves. Before we listen to it, let me take another pause here to tell you guys about Football Contest Proxy. If you're thinking of entering the Circuit Survivor or Circuit Millions contest but don't live in Nevada, it's no problem. It's very easy to hire a proxy to submit the picks for you each week for your chance to win millions. Sign up in Las Vegas and then just submit your picks to your proxy. We've partnered up with the gold standard of proxies over at footballcontestproxy.com. Plus, if you use the promo code SGP at checkout, you'll save $50 off the proxy fees. That's right. Just go to football contest proxy. If I get it right, it'll be helpful. footballcontestproxy.com. That's footballcontestproxy.com. And use the promo code SGP to get $50 off.
Erik, first and foremost, congratulations on getting us to another FA Cup final. Some people have lost sight of that, but it is a really good achievement to be there 2 years in a row, and you've got a chance to lift silverware.
Well, so it is. So it's a big achievement. Before we said it's a big opportunity, especially after all the setbacks and the injuries and the problems, the issues off-field we have had. It's a big achievement. We have an opportunity to go for silverware. We will put everything in and to get the silverware and to lift the cup.
And I know we did make it tough on ourselves, but it was a tough game, particularly after having so much control. How is the squad after that game? There were a couple of players who might have picked up knocks.
Well, it's 120 minutes. It's a lot of energy we have to put in. But and picked up some knocks. And we have seen Garnacho. We have to take him off because he had something. Hopefully, tomorrow he's available. Then we had Scott McTominay. He came off. And we had to sub him as well. We have to see today if he's available for tomorrow. Then we have Bruno. He had a problem on his hand. I think he will be available. The last one.
Marcus as well.
Marcus, yeah. Thank you. Of course, we have seen he came off as well. He had a kick on his Achilles. And see how he is tomorrow, if he is recovered.
On the weekend, it was a very young bench. What would those young players have learned from being part of your group and from that experience?
They have learned a lot, I think. That you keep the focus and keep going. Game management, when opponents take more risk, how to deal with it, and how you have to read it as a team and take your measures as a team.
The game against Sheffield United at Old Trafford, the first of six Premier League games this season before the FA Cup final. So what do you want to see from your players in these matches?
Win. And football is about result. and about winning. And yeah, we have now two opportunities to go into Europe. And one is over the league and one is over the cup final. And so, yeah, make sure we're collecting enough points in the league first, because that's the first opportunity. And the FA Cup final, we bury them now for now. Eh? We have to refocus and we go into the last week. But for now, all the focus has to be on the league.
And four of those six games are at Old Trafford. So how big an opportunity is that for your players to put in good performances in front of our brilliant fans?
Yeah, it's fantastic to we are together and that we achieved it also together. And for the fans, it's great to have another final that we can look forward to for us, but for the fans. And in the meantime, keep together, stick together and make it strong. But for us, yeah, we want to show them as well. And there will be difficult moments. And we have had difficult moments. And it will keep going. So maybe in the coming weeks, players can return. And then also we can construct a more team out who can play really to the way we want to play. But till that moment, we have to be creative. But maybe they are not there in the final as well. And then still... we have to win the game. So, in difficult moments, we have to stick together. And that's why we are together, fans and players, team, are in the FA Cup final. And now we have to transfer this into the league as well and to collect enough points and to assure us for Europe.
Brilliant. Good luck tomorrow evening. Thanks, boss.
You're welcome.
So, he's trying to rally the troops together, get the supporters all on side. He's now subtly talking about qualifying for Europe as a general thing, as opposed to talking about the Champions League. You can see what he's trying to do there, but is it going to wash with supporters who think that Manchester United should always be in the Champions League? I think Man United should always be in the Champions League, although I did not expect us to be in the Champions League this season off the back of what we did last season. Coming from that, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, Ralf Rangnick, Cristiano Ronaldo, Paul Pogba, disaster season, where if you look back at it and you look back at that team, that is a Man United team that should have challenged for the league. There was so much optimism going into that season. I remember going down to the training ground with my son. We want to get a picture with Varane. We'll get a picture with Ronaldo, Pogba, Bruno Fernandes. Shaw had just come off a very good Euros. Aaron Wan-Bissaka, highly rated fullback at the time. There wasn't that scrutiny under Harry Maguire. We just bought Rafa Varane to come in and partner up with him. Obviously, when you've got Pogba and Fernandes in midfield, that strong. It's always been that that holding midfield position for Man United that was questionable. You had Rashford coming off a good season. You had Mason Greenwood coming through. You had Cavani, who just had a good season, who was there as cover for Cristiano Ronaldo. It was an unbelievable team on paper. And it just went incredibly wrong to the point where Erik ten Hag had Mission Impossible to get us into the top four and to win a trophy. But he finished third and won a trophy. And did it by not playing the Ten Hag way. He abandoned the Ten Hag way after two games, after we were smashed against Brentford. He showed his adaptability as a manager, and he's shown who he is as a manager. Just ask Cristiano Ronaldo why he hasn't won a Champions League with Juventus, because he was put out by Erik ten Hag's Ajax. Real Madrid were put out by Erik ten Hag's Ajax. Erik ten Hag's Ajax outplayed Tottenham, not just in the first leg, but for 70 minutes of the second leg as well. But when you go back to that, is that an issue with Erik ten Hag in general? Because when you listen to some of these other Man United supporters, when you listen to these people on Twitter, they don't actually know anything about football. They're just fucking idiots. But here on this show, when I talk about football, whether it be the EPL show, Scamessa Italia, the Bundesliga show, Unlocked Betting, anytime I open my mouth and facts about any sports, there's a knowledge about it. Otherwise, I wouldn't be doing that podcast. If they assign me a podcast relating to a sport that I wasn't passionate about and I didn't think that I could give an educated insight on, I wouldn't do that show. I would just be like, nah, I'm not doing that. That's why I don't do MLS. They ask me all the time to do the MLS and I say that I can't do the MLS. I don't feel comfortable doing the MLS. I'm not educated enough to talk about the MLS. Could I do it? Could I get through? Could I do it better than some of the other people doing it? Yeah, absolutely. But I'm never going to open my mouth unless I'm 100% confident or knowledgeable about what I'm talking about. And I am somebody who will take it back to the result against Tottenham because I'm able to do that. And this was reminiscent of what happened against Tottenham. This was a Tottenham Ajax level collapse where Ajax were 1-0 up from the first leg. They were 2-0 up overall. So 2-0 up in that game. So 3-0 on aggregate. And it was Tottenham who ended up going through on away goals through a Lucas Moura hat-trick, which was scored in the second half of the second half. Exactly what happened here against Coventry. Is there something fundamentally wrong with Erik ten Hag's management where he cannot see out games? Because Man United have conceded late goals throughout his tenure. In the last six games, it's been absolutely ridiculous. Playing poorly against Brentford, yes. But then going up in the 96th minute and not being able to hold on for an additional minute of injury time. That was ridiculous. Being up against Liverpool 2-1, conceding a penalty, Mo Salah scores. And Liverpool end up taking a point from Old Trafford, where Man United would have got themselves a really, really big morale-boosting win against Liverpool. Then we have that epic collapse against Chelsea, which I still think supersedes this one against Coventry, to be 3-2 up in the 96th minute and to lose that game 4-3 is the most ridiculous meltdown that I think I've seen. I think it's more ridiculous than Bayern Munich's meltdown in the Champions League final against Man United in 99. That one was more significant because we had 96 minutes on the clock and Man United conceded a penalty. And then the very next attack, the only attack left in the game, they ended up losing the game. So that for me is unacceptable. And this coming against Championship Coventry, being 3-0 up after 70 minutes, is unacceptable. And it does raise massive questions about Erik ten Hag. I can look at the side where we're up 3-0. I can look at the side where we were beating Chelsea. I can look at the side where we were beating Liverpool. I can look at the side that we were about to win a game against Brentford where we played badly. I can look at all of that and I can see the potential to fix that in the next season, in the coming season. But would you trust Erik ten Hag with the money to spend? Would you trust Erik ten Hag with that assignment? Would you trust this group of players playing under ten Hag to see out leads and to win games that we are supposed to win and to challenge the top teams in the league and to take that next step? I understand all of the injuries that gives him a pass. I understand that we've been in a position where we could have won these games. That gives him a pass because that has to be better than just being beaten comfortably by Liverpool, by being beaten 4-3 against Chelsea in a game where maybe we were 4-0 down and got back to 4-3. Maybe all of these things are positives to even be in the position to do these things, because these players, at the very least, periodically have shown that they are capable players and they are playing under a capable manager, a manager who has got us to the FA Cup final, a manager who's taken us to Wembley 5 times in his first 2 seasons. And that could be his only 2 seasons. If he's sacked, he's able to turn around and say, I took Man United to Wembley 5 times and won a trophy and got them into the Champions League. And he'll easily be able to pick up another job off the back of that, in my opinion. But will we be getting rid of a good manager? Are we getting rid of a manager who has navigated us through very difficult circumstances with the ownership, with the injuries, with the transition through that team of Pogba and Ronaldo and Solskjaer as the manager and Ralf Rangnick and Ralf Rangnick's comments? Or was Ralf Rangnick right? And is the rebuild still needing to happen? Are Manchester United still needing to lose a load of the existing players to complete the rebuild that Ralf Rangnick was speaking about? And have Manchester United acquired the right players during that rebuild? Or have we added even more rubbish under Erik ten Hag? Is Antony good enough? Is Onana good enough in goal? Is Martinez an injury-prone defender who isn't going to be a good long-term solution? Do we still need to look at the fullback positions? Is Luke Shaw fit enough often enough? Have we covered the midfield position now with Kobbie Mainoo? And do we need to sell both Casemiro and Varane to Saudi? Do we have enough attacking options? Is Højlund the answer? Is Garnacho going to stay at the club? Is he loyal to Man United? All of these questions need to be answered. And again, as per usual, when it comes to Manchester United, we have more questions than we have answers. Moving on to this FA Cup final and moving on to next season. That's it for me and this edition of Better Me FC. Good luck with all your bets as always, and thanks for listening.